Why would the American people ever want to question a huge, shadowy bureaucracy that spies on them and watches them and looks into their telephones and sees where they go on the internet and could go to a court and get warrants without ever letting you know? Why would Americans want to know about that stuff? Why would you want to hold giant agencies accountable to the American people? You're hearing a lot of crap lately, so all I have to say is grow the bleep up, everybody. This memo on the Trump investigation is political, and the Democrats are going to put out their political response. Originally, they didn't even want anyone to put out a memo. Now they want to put out a memo. And if the FBI is trying to protect its political behind, and if you got both sides or more sides telling you, this is my memo, this is the memo, read this, don't read that, what's the best thing to do? I think a lot of Americans are just going to ignore it all, watch This Is Us and cry, or smoke a bong and play Call of Duty online. Or maybe, just maybe, if free people in what was once described as a free country will want to look at all of it. The memo, the counter memo, and as much data as they can get their hands on. And then do something extremely radical. Make your own conclusion. That's really a tough one, isn't it, to kind of decide for yourself? Won't you rather have pundits tell you what to do and how to think? Or talk show hosts? Radio broadcasters? Even a guy with a podcast. Let them do the thinking. So John Cass or Rachel Maddow or Dan Proft or Sean Hannity or any of us, we're pundits. And by definition, what are pundits? We're full of gas, kind of like Harry Potter's mean aunt. You know, the fat one with the bulldog who puffed up like a balloon and drifted away over London? So you want us to tell you what you think? Or maybe, just maybe, you're going to think for yourself. You'll get the information, all of it, Republican and Democrat, where the sun shines on it all, and that makes shadows, and you're going to see the gray areas. And you'll notice how it's all so very political. All of it. And then you're going to be troubled by it all, and you're going to wake the bleep up, and you might take the red pill. You might take the blue pill. I don't care what pill you take. It's your country. No, it's not easy. Whoever said it was easy? It's called freedom. And this is called the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Joining me this week, as is every week, is my broadcast partner, Jeff Carlin, master baker, cat owner, producer of the Rokon with Anna Devalanis program on WGN Radio. And joining us, Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune editorial board. Okay?
Yep. So that'll come out. So what I'll do is I'll take that last piece you did.
Yeah.
And I'll put that on the other side of the theme.
Yeah.
So then it'll run.
Gotcha.
So we can pick it up right from there and do a few minutes here.
So, Jeff Carlin.
Hey, John Cass.
Jeff Carlin, what's on Jeff Carlin's mind?
Well, I appreciate the introduction as a master baker, but I must bow down to those who are actually master bakers. That
like the pastry chef at Naha.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, ooh.
Exactly. No, I'm a novice baker who enjoys the craft.
You're a damn good baker.
I try. But I appreciate that. But I don't know, John. The thing that's been bugging me this week, and it's weird, I don't know why, but every time I see something in the news or I see some new advancement in technology or I see some new show being launched on TV or Netflix or wherever it is, I feel like we're getting closer and closer to like to 1981. Sorry, 1981. 1984.
Okay, tell me, like, there's new technology that we bring technology and cameras and recorders into our bedrooms.
Right.
I would assume that many people, they would might not want to admit it, bring it with them into the bathroom.
Sure.
It's watching us wherever we go, mm-hmm. in our cars, mm-hmm. wherever we go, recording, can it listen to you if it wants to. What's there to worry about, Jeff?
It's so crazy. There's just, remember back in the good old days, and this is, I mean, before my time, really, but you had, what, four channels if you were lucky? Four things of programming, and then you would read books and newspapers.
And you had to watch, if you missed Wizard of Oz, you're a dead kid at school.
Right, exactly.
Everyone thought you were.
Or you missed a baseball game, you didn't know until you read the score or whatever. But now there's just so much media out there, and there's so much. I mean, from Hulu puts out a million shows. Netflix puts out a million shows and a million movies now. You have Amazon Prime is putting out all these movies and shows. You have all the networks. You have all the cable shows. You have everything, all this media out there. And TVs are getting bigger. Now they have TVs that are literally the size of your wall, just like in 84. Right. I mean, it's so scary that people are becoming distracted from entirely the important things, especially in this country.
What?
Well, like reading history and reading people's thoughts and learning from things that...
Why would you want to read history if you're an American?
Because we write the most history? No, because history repeats itself. We've seen that.
Why would you want to know the context of things?
I want to know the context of everything.
Or would you rather have some gas bag on TV tell you what to think?
Well, that's what we do. Exactly. That's the point. I mean, or what to feel, or
how to cry. You have to cry when the stupid, the pressure cooker blows up and kills the guy and everybody cries or whatever it's going to do. I don't know if it did that.
Right.
But it involves a pressure cooker or a slow cooker or something.
Something, right.
Right.
But it just scares me. I feel like humanity, or at least in this country, we're losing sight of the what's important, and I feel like we're being overrun by government, and we're being overrun by business, and our society is crumbling. I mean, there's a lot of great advancements in technology to save people's lives, and that's great.
Correct.
But this media thing, I mean, just the onslaught of it is just so grotesque, because most of it's poor quality. It's not like it used to be where the best of the best producers put out stuff and people worked a craft and you really had to rise above everything else to be noticed and then to be distributed.
It's not Playhouse 90.
Right. It's sad. It's just, I feel depressed when I think about it.
How about this? Not even the junk that they produce, but the junk they say, where you can tell by how they're talking or writing or emoting that they're doing it based on what they think the audience wants.
Right.
You could tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the right, from the left, from the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Really, the middle is the worst. But you could tell it's all cynical.
Mm-hmm.
It's like poison being fed into your head.
Yeah.
Do you ever see, all right, here's an old movie you might want to think about. It's called THX 1138. Yes. You ever see it?
Isn't that Lucas's first?
It was his first film, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on it in college and then made it a feature as a senior thesis. And Robert Duvall, young Robert Duvall, was in it. It's about a future world where the people are so, I guess, wasted by pressure and circumstance. They live in this pristine white world that doesn't have any dirt in it. It's all, I guess they're living underground or somewhere. It's like a laboratory. And there's a Jesus. You go into a confessional, but it's a video confessional of it, and Jesus asks you, are you okay? And then he comes home after a day of moving nuclear metal back and forth so he could kill himself at any time. He comes home and he turns on the TV, which is to your point. He turns on a hologram. And he has this blank expression on his face. And he switches from a political debate. You know how we have blank faces when we switch?
Right.
Then switches to another one of a woman being lashed, tied up by like SM thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he has no expression on his face. And then keeps switching from brutality to banality, back and forth, political talk to, and he's just got a blank look on his face as he's flipping. And he takes a pill to chill him out. And I'm thinking, that was terrifying when I was a boy.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what you're describing now.
Yeah. I'll even update your analogy, which is,
yeah.
Or reference rather. But remember the Batman and Robin Forever or whatever is that goofy Batman movie where it was Arnold Schwarzenegger and
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze and George Clooney, and had Drew, Jim Carrey.
Was George
Carrey.
Clooney Batman?
Yeah,
George Carrey. Yeah.
Yep, and Jim Carrey was the Riddler.
Yeah.
So remember the whole premise of the Riddler thing was that you put this box on, this thing on your TV, and then this company was, the company would be able to suck your brain waves and then use your brain waves as energy to sell and to then to implement their controls over you. And it's exactly how it is.
They market us.
Right.
We do it by going on Twitter and Facebook.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's so funny. People get all up in arms about, freedom of speech on Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff. And I get that. Sure, you want to, that's American, but
they don't want conservatives on Twitter. They cut them down.
Sure. I mean, I don't follow it close enough, but they do. There are definitely questions about their, but that's the point, is that it's Twitter. It's not,
right.
This is not the square in the middle of your town where you're posting your thoughts on the world, or you're trying to hand out notes to people about your take on the world. This is a marketing tool. The old adage is, if you're not paying for it, you're the product. And you are. That's a Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. If you're not paying for it, if you're not paying for this service, you're the product. That's how it works.
That's really good, Jeff.
And
I didn't know about that old adage. That's really good.
It's a marketing thing. I mean, it's the truth about
broadcast. So we're being marketed.
Absolutely. People get the idea that, TV is made for the consumers. It's made for, for us.
Yeah, it helps
it's not.
Them.
It's not. TV is, you're the product. The people are selling marketing to you, and you are the product. And it's not the other way around. You're not the consumer, right. Technically.
So here's what we do. We cut all the cords to live a good life, right? Kind of like the Benedict option that's
right.
Being discussed. But let's not do it all with religion. We live in the Aristotelian fantasy of on our land, producing for ourselves. We have all these books to read. You know what I mean? If you just started with Henry Fielding, it would take you a year.
Right.
Right? Just to read a few from that century, from the beginning of the novel.
Right.
And
that's the thing.
Tom Jones, A Foundling. Yes, that would be good to read.
And I think about it is generationally speaking. I mean, the generation that leading up into World War II, that generation, it was they weren't distracting themselves with awful, with terrible programming or mind numbing.
They didn't have time.
No,
they were in depression.
They came from a generation and the generation before that and before that. The focus was learning about what's come before us. We're building on this idea that, what's come before us will help us make the world in front of us a much better place. And I don't think there is that instance anymore. There isn't that drive, especially in American culture, that you learn from those who have made big thoughts and then grow from those big thoughts and make bigger.
You don't think that's going on too?
I think
it is.
I don't think it's going on in a personal level. I don't think it's going on in an individual level as much. Because people are wasting their time.
Personal level. The individual does reach out and gets the book on the end of liberalism or whatever the book is at the moment.
Well,
that true thinkers.
But I'm not talking about current, like, books are being put out now. There are tons of books and educational stuff and history pieces.
Right.
But I'm talking about thinking about, you know, extrapolating out the works of others that came before you, not currently with you. And I mean, you know, history, they always say history is best understood after, you know, over time.
After the age is done.
Right. And I don't think there is that essence anymore, or not anymore, but to the same extent. I don't think people, the emphasis on making ourselves better by learning from what we've done in the past is there. I think, you know, throughout human history.
I think that's part of the fact that, and this is going to get political quickly, but it unfortunately.
Sure.
The political left in this country hates this country. They hate what the West represents. And so they've been on a rampage over the last 40 years to deconstruct every aspect. You get the sense from, you hear some of these idiots like Joy Reid, who, you know, I don't think she really understands her place in all this except as a meat puppet. But you hear this deconstruction of institutions. So we deconstruct the universities, we deconstruct churches, everything. We deconstruct it all, the societies, the groups that stand between individual and the state, the Elks Club, the lodges, all these different things, the charities that aren't involved with the state are cut aside because the state is involved with charities. So until what they want is a man, individual man against the backdrop of the gigantic state. And that's also part. I'm holding my phone up now. My phone, my computer, it's all about that. And in a sense, at the end, there's no group that can protect you because we're all individuals. And the state is everything, which is like the Matrix, right?
Right.
We are the battery for the Matrix.
Yeah,
I know it's kind of depressing. So why don't we go? Where's the good climate?
Yeah, I hear Argentina's nice.
Where you could grow stuff.
I hear Argentina.
And live and read books and raise your family. I know it's depressing, isn't it?
It is.
There's got to be a place. I would think that valley where Shane is writing into it. You know that valley where Shane writes? Mother loves you, loves you, loves you. Shane, come back. Mother wants you, wants you, wants you.
In the sunset.
It's got to be. I'm mocking. I don't mean to mock. But there's got to be a place. Because ultimately, Jeff, I think you're right. We're a nation. We're becoming a nation of idiots.
Yeah.
Of illiterates. Mm-hmm. And people, here's the thing that scares me about all this. They're afraid to have an opinion different from others. They're shamed by Twitter and Facebook.
See,
that's what it really does. It shames people, children, young people, not you.
Yeah.
But think of the younger Jeff 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't want to be shamed. You want to be part of a group.
I don't know. I think the millennial generation prides themselves on their ability, their counterness to culture and counterness to opinion and being something different.
I hope so.
And I think that helps, but I think a lot of those opinions aren't rooted in history and aren't rooted in the thoughts. They think that everything that they've come up with is brand new or new ideas, and they're not new ideas. They're old ideas that they have just quote-unquote discovered but have been underlying all along, and all of a sudden they think they've discovered it, and then they think that that's the way it is because they just discovered it, and no, that was history.
That's a function of all his all ages.
Yeah.
All the young always rediscover things.
Yeah.
And one thing that the old people forget, they forget what it's like to be young. They forget what it's like to wonder that way. So, yeah, it happens.
This series, compared to 38. Where are you
again? Okay, just back off, THX
1138. You have asked, are we happy? Are we happy and effective? Consultation with leading experts in the field makes it perfectly clear, perfectly clear, that we are all now programmed for perfect happiness. Perfect happiness. Perfect happiness.
Jeff Carlin and Kristen McQuarrie. Hey, Kristen.
Hello.
You know, last week I woke up early in the morning, had my steel cut oatmeal and my, various fruit juices.
That sounds like you.
Yeah. And I listened to you on the radio, and you're talking about Amy Jacobson's kidney stones. Yeah. It was so gross. I just want to say.
You said you were having Palermo's and Diet Coke. Let's be honest. Breakfast of champions.
Yeah. Nothing like a good, with sprinkled with salt.
Right. Poor Amy. Yes. I was filling in for her for a couple of days. I just thought she had the flu or something, but it was revealed on air, which I'm sure she did not appreciate, that she was suffering from something else. Very painful.
Christian, I do not like talking about bodily functions. I've seen some referenced in the newspaper. I'm not going to say which, but it used to be called the world's greatest newspaper, and I've seen it.
You don't like it.
I don't like bodily functions discussed.
I had it.
Why?
It wasn't a function. It wasn't a bodily function. It was a health issue.
It's still,
but I know.
It's like if a woman is going to have a child, shouldn't we say she's in a delicate condition or something?
You don't want to talk about the placenta?
Oh, God. All right. Okay.
Oh, I had an editor once who talked about the serial factor. And what he meant by that is exactly what you're talking about, that people are going to be having breakfast and reading the paper. And so you don't want to have the front page be, have some gross story, which is why my awesome story about the housing projects in Peoria and this man who had a dead body above him for weeks and he couldn't get the management to come and he couldn't figure out what was wrong. There was a terrible smell and there were maggots on his ceiling. And finally, when I wrote about it, then he got some help. But that story was not on that. Can't do maggots with Raisin Bran.
But in the Tribune, we couldn't even get Obama getting a real estate deal with Tony Bresco on the front page.
No?
No, that was
why not.
I don't know what happened then. It was just some kind of thing. Maybe there's other bigger news at the time. Okay, I've got, one thing I do is I ask, listen to me, I'm talking like a radio. One thing I do, I'm asking people on Facebook to ask questions for us. So I've got a few, okay?
Okay.
Here's one. Oh, by the way, the Facebook review of your performance moderating the Jeannie Ives Governor Rauner debate was, you got a lot of kudos.
Indeed.
Here's one from Mark Weiermuller. We only saw the back of Christine's head on newsfeed. Next debate, need more cameras. When is the next debate? And what about the back of your head?
I know. It kind of feels like amateur hour in there. Like the mics kept going out and it's another burden as a woman. I have to worry about the front
of
myself, my clothes, my hair, and now the back of my head. Yes.
Part of your head hair that you don't, that people don't think about? The back of your head.
Well, why would I?
I know.
Well, it's like,
but now
designing
I have to.
A car. You
it's
know,
like before
always
these debates, I'm like, oh, let me see what the back of my hair looks like.
They should have cameras in the front, too, so they can see the questioner back and forth.
Well, they do at other news outlets. I mean, the Sun-Times managed to have a very nice multiple-camera sort of experience when they had their Democratic candidates in. But
did they? But it's the Sun-Times.
It's the Sun-Times.
I ran into the editor, or whatever, Edwin. What is Edwin's thing?
He is the publisher.
Mm-hmm. Editor. I ran into him at Chicago Club. City Club of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And so I asked, we're goofing around, because I've known him since, he was an alderman. And I said, so are you going to get a media writer at the Reader so he could write that Cass sucks every week?
Oh, right.
He's well, like, also, oh, no.
Maybe they could also do that top 10 list of the worst things in Chicago that they did recently.
It.
Oh, you were on it, but also Mount Greenwood.
Mount Greenwood sucked,
too. Yeah, my neighboring neighbor.
Yeah.
To the west of me.
And they, why?
Repugnant.
They've never been out there. They
of
don't
course
know.
Not. They've never been south of Roosevelt Road, but they love to make sweeping accusations about entire swaths of the city.
They don't even know Fat Tommy's and the Ditka.
Of course not. I mean, these are probably, they were trying to be like hipster cool, and it was so elitist and snobby, that whole compilation, that sure hope my friend who's taking it over, Mark Conkle, doesn't allow garbage like
fan.
That.
He's a Sox fan. All right, here's another question from Tammy Pulver. Is Dan Biss a Madigan minion or his own man?
I think he's his own man. I mean, he's been in the Senate, so he doesn't really have to.
But he started in the House.
He did, but I think maybe he just did like one or two terms. What I have heard about him is that since he just started to run, he threw his name in the ring maybe for comptroller last time around, and he did start a PAC, like a political action committee, that I think had some Madigan links. And he has not been really brave in criticizing the speaker over property taxes and such. But no, I wouldn't say he's a Madigan minion.
Here's one for Jeff, from Ken Dietz. Will Rahm's pandering to the Hispanic vote pay off for him, or will they see it for what it is?
I think they'll see it for what it is. I don't think Rahm stands a chance in that demographic, just because what has he done for them? I mean, the sanctuary city thing I get, but how empty is that?
Who's going to run against him who they would prefer,
That's true.
There's no, that I know of, Hispanic candidate so far.
And, maybe we could get somebody who could speak Spanish, like, fluently, like Ed Burke.
Right.
¿Dónde está?
¿Dónde está escuela?
All right, here's one. Gary Fry, I absolutely love what the Trump administration is doing, but I hate that I live in daily fear that Trump himself will cross an uncrossable line. How is a rational thinker supposed to reconcile these two viewpoints? I would love to hear what you and your guests have to say.
I think you can like the policy and not appreciate the principle, PAL. I think he has done some good things, and his State of the Union speech was really strong, but you can still feel uncomfortable and criticize him when he screws up. So I think
right,
you can
but
do
don't, can you? But what about living in daily fear that something will happen?
Anxiety, I think, is a better word. I am anxious about the president always.
Like, everybody is. The thing. It's like one Democratic advantage of it, right?
Right, yeah.
Can we have a Oprah run so she can just hug us and put us to sleep? Give me some cocoa.
I don't
Oprah.
Understand. I mean, I'm with Kristen on this. I don't think everything the president's done is great, but I think, there are some things that obviously he's done.
Yeah.
But he's irrational on stuff like the tweeting and the early morning tweets that make no sense and that are just a reaction to something stupid. And then he's got to fight through that. If he was the president who gave the State of the Union 24/7, he'd be so much more effective, so much more effective. And I don't understand why he doesn't realize that.
No, I do feel like I agree with our questioner that you feel like there's a clock ticking in your head, because he has gotten pretty good press in the days past State of the Union, but it's just going to take one tweet before he messes up his own good press.
And I almost thought it was going to be the size of the viewership, the ratings thing that was going to blow up, but luckily the memo thing was bigger, so he didn't really have to deal with that. But that was so stupid. Why do that? Why brag that you have the best one? It's quantifiably not true.
Because it's Trump.
I know, Trump. But that's the thing. He
exaggerates.
Mm-hmm. It's not even an exaggeration. He's just lying. I mean, it's not lying. It's a fancy way of saying he's lying.
You got to break between, that's like the embellisher of a politician who's, shouting. And you have to have a difference between that and you can keep your doctor if you
like. Right.
There's two different kinds of lies.
Right.
Right? Some people... I guess he lowers the bar so that you have to,
Right.
Lie to me means intent. And I don't know that he intentionally lies. We know that.
Believe stuff?
I just think he spouts off. He's not necessarily intentionally lying.
I don't know. And my mom would say that's a lie. A lie is a lie.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll go with Mrs. Carlin on this one. Okay.
I don't know what Mrs. Carlin would say about this next topic, but I need to ask both of you.
Uh-oh.
We're in now this week, we're in the Olympics, right? The fake Olympics.
Run up to the Olympics here.
They're not really the Olympics. It's the ice Olympics.
I know.
Can men not watch the worst thing of all, which is the Cinderella Ice Princess competition? Can we even say anything about it in a negative way?
Ice dancing?
The men or the women?
Both.
Okay. The couples? Okay. I haven't watched any of it. So is it figure skating or ice dancing?
There's two different things. There's ice dancing and then there's figure
skating.
Guess
what? If they're out on the ice turning around to music, men or women, guys aren't watching it. I'm just telling you, but can we Just get up.
Enjoy a good ice skating.
Like, see, if my wife wanted to watch This Is Us, okay?
Right.
Which, thank God, she doesn't watch it.
Oh, Betty.
Do you watch it?
You got to start watching it.
Wait, do you watch This Is Us?
I do, but I'm way behind. I'm way behind.
Did the guy get killed by the pressure cooker? Somebody died by...
Don't spoil it.
That's the whole premise.
What?
That someone died. I haven't seen any of it.
Okay, I'm going to take off my headphones.
Wait, no. You watch this show?
No. I just have to watch the watching of it.
Oh, so Christine watches it.
No one watches it in our household.
Let me ask you this. Why is it that people want to cry?
That was the sound of Kristen putting her
headphones
back on.
I had to take them off.
She took her
headphones off. I know, she actually did it.
She ran out of the room.
Did I make a big noise?
No, it's fine. It's funny. It's
okay, but generally speaking, I ask this of readers. Why do people want to watch this damn show? Because it's about, really, it's like a cry factory. Why do you want to cry? No?
Hey, I'm with you. I don't get it.
Oh, you guys.
Men.
I mean, it's just as life unfolds in a real way, this show captures that. And I like, personally, just those are my favorite kinds of movies. Those are my favorite kinds of shows where you just kind of plop into someone's life and watch it unfold for a time and become connected to the characters and cry.
What is the crying thing?
Do you remember?
Everybody watches that show wants to cry. It's a mental illness. Because it's like, can I take a pill that will make me cry? This is what the show is. Why do we want to cry?
It's not really that you want to cry, but you want your hour to be invested and you want to feel. Just like when you walk out of a movie, you want to feel connected to the movie. You think about it hours later. You learn a little bit of, you know, from something. Do we want to start talking about Game of Thrones?
No, I don't cry over Game of Thrones.
But what's the
only
pill?
Only when the dragon dies, and there's I ruined
spoiler,
that too.
But just one dies, right? Just one.
Just don't even start. Don't try to trick me.
Just one dies.
You're trying to trick me with your superior mind.
Does two
mind.
Die? Does another dragon
You're trying
die?
To trick me to get me off my subject, which is why do people Americans want to cry? Because we're what? Emotional wrecks. So we plug into This Is Us and cry.
It's
over that
really
show.
Well done. It's just well done, and it deals with alcoholism and death and divorce and families that are split up, and that is real life. It's happening all around you.
Right, but I want to escape that. That's what my life. I did watch Parenthood, which I think, from my understanding, is very similar to This
Is Us. I've heard that, yes.
Which was very good, and it was the same style, but I could only do that once. I got through that one. Maybe shed a tear at the end.
You did?
Well, it was a very sad ending.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there was
Parenthood?
Yeah.
Do they all get old and die?
Pretty much.
What happened was they got old, and all those kids they loved didn't care about them, and they ended up in a state old age home facility
where they were subjected to legionnaires. Yeah.
Legionnaires and depredations of the staff, the idiotic, barbaric staff.
Right.
Right?
It's so opposite the movie Parenthood, which is hilarious and one of my favorites.
All right, so I guess we're not going to get more out of Kristen because it's not a gender thing. I think because there are many men watch the show. It's just that people want to cry.
I understand your point, and in this way, when I have free time to sit and watch a show beginning to end, which is rare. I do have to think,
Mom of two.
Do I want to get all emotional, or do I want to watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? And often I watch the
garbage,
or a cooking show or something. So I get it. Like,
poor Tarek.
You do have to be in the right frame of mind.
All right. So that's it on that one.
I'm just amazed at how many things there are to watch now. That scares me.
Tarek and Christina, they broke
so
up. They really made me cry.
That is sad.
Shame. Let me ask you guys something, manly men.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, because that's who we are.
Yeah.
When was the last time you cried, John?
Like watching a show?
No, just in either. When was the last time you were emotional and liquid came out of your eyeballs right here?
Okay. There's the last scene in Goal, A Dream Begins.
Oh, God.
Okay? Where the young man who was like the DACA, he was the dreamer, brought into this country. His father was a hardworking immigrant, and he couldn't, you know, didn't want the boy to play soccer, but he did. And he ended up on Newcastle and did so well. And then daddy dies of a heart attack. Sorry, spoiler. Ruined it. And he talks to his grandma and tells his agent, my dad saw me play, man. My dad actually saw me play. Every time I see it, squirt a few, just like Old Yeller if I watched that. Squirt a few. Rocky.
But when? I want to know, was this...
Rocky, when Adrian wakes up from the coma and tells him to win. Spoiler. Win, Rocky.
But what year?
Oh, Rocky.
I mean,
yeah,
was
spoiled.
This last month? Or because I've asked this question before, and if I think of just men in my life... I mean, if you ask my husband or something when the last time he cried, he'd probably be like, you know, I think it was like 2006.
Remember? Did you?
No, like, I'm exaggerating, but
like you take a little. Like,
I mean, for women, it's yesterday.
Yeah.
So when was it? When was the last time you cried?
It's more to me, and this is not gender specific because I can't even think in terms of gender anymore. You know,
men might
be wired differently emotionally.
Right, yeah.
No, we just can't. I can't. But for some, the deconstructed scissors or whatever I am, what is that anyway?
I don't know.
What is cis?
I don't get it.
Will you explain what that means to me?
I don't understand it.
Do I have to say I'm a cisgender now?
I don't know. Anyway, I don't get it.
We rage. So what you say, when's the last time you,
right.
You said bleep you to somebody? It was this morning in Ogden.
All right.
Ogden Avenue, right?
It's funny because there was an article in Washington Post about, like, what if the world, if women were allowed to rage or, like, taught to rage, you know, how would the world be different?
We would all be dead.
Right. I can't control crying. Like, the last time I cried, I was talking to my mom about something, you know, some memory as a kid, and it was very emotional. And that's the last time I can remember. But I don't think I've cried at a movie or a TV show or anything in a long time. That is insane to me.
I can't understand like how you could not. I cried during the Grammys.
I feel sorry for your parents because I can just imagine this little manipulative child, like perfect little Catholic school girl. But Dad, when's the last time you cried? You know what I mean? Doing that, like changing the subject.
You still didn't answer the question. You still didn't say when.
I don't
was it
remember.
Last? See, exactly. It happens so rarely that you don't remember. I cried twice during the Grammys with my daughter sitting there, and she kept looking at me. She's like, Mom, you're so emotional. I know. I have to just, real
what
quick.
What was it?
They had a song. They sang Eric Clapton's Tears from Heaven, which already makes me cry because he wrote that for his son, who was a toddler who fell out of an upstairs high-rise window when the cleaning lady was home and didn't realize she pulled the screen out. So he fell to his death as a toddler, and then Eric Clapton writes Tears from Heaven. They sang it on the stage at the Grammys to honor the victims of the Las Vegas shooting. And they had little messages. Oh, see, I'm going to get... They had messages behind them from all the family members. You know, we miss you. And it was very touching. So,
you know what really touches me? Who's the other guy in the deal with the Las Vegas shooter?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, all of a sudden it comes out there's another man of interest who is like some DIA expert?
Yeah.
What is going on with that story?
Huge mystery.
Shortly after it happened, there was a rumor on the interwebs about
the dark web.
The dark web, yeah, well. And the working theory was that there was this guy.
I almost spilled water on
again.
The,
this oh, is twice. Twice.
But anyways, this guy, the theory was that the guy who did the shooting was trying to sell arms to somebody. Like, that was his thing. And that he was sending emails to himself, but he was really emailing someone else. And so the deal went bad, and they were trying to, it was actually just a terrorist plot or some plot to set up a dangerous event in Las Vegas so military control and security companies could take over and change the laws. That's the theory.
Sounds like a video game.
Right, exactly. So I don't know, but this little piece of it that came out last week is pretty interesting. It almost leads to that. You're like, uh-oh.
Why the hell don't we know that? We don't know what the guy's motive. Nobody. It's like, shut up. Don't even talk about it. I know I sound like a tinfoil hat man.
No, it's very, I mean, because you can't think of too many terrorist attacks, let's just call it what it was, where somebody doesn't claim responsibility, the motive becomes clear. This guy, we still don't even know his motive. Isn't that nuts?
That's crazy.
It reminds me a little bit of the story that's been breaking again recently, the 10-year anniversary of the Lane Bryant killings.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, Matt Wahlberg covered that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was in Tinley Park, so it was close to where I used to work, and there's a survivor. There was one woman who survived, and I think she's been living in hiding. She's probably under witness protection or something because she can't. He's on the loose, this guy. But for 10 years, so you would think you have all this DNA evidence, cameras, people shopping, and someone who survived, and they still can't get that guy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What are we worried about? We're not worried about important stuff like that. We're worried about some psycho witch who wants to take a peacock on a bleeping airplane.
Yes.
What is that?
Oh, gosh.
Wait, what is with this emotional support animal enough? What is this?
I'm with you. I don't get it.
I have an ox, emotionally support ox, because I want to take him on a plane to Los Angeles, chop his tail off, and make some good stifado.
Oh,
with him,
I see
Ox
where
tail.
You're going. I see where
right?
you're going.
But he might crap on the guy next to me.
Right.
But so what? It's my emotional support. What is with this thing?
I don't know. I think it's exploded, right?
Oh,
the number
yeah.
of people who are bringing
70% increase year over year at United Airlines, which is insane. 70% increase year over year.
What does it mean? Emotional support animal.
It means you bought a vest or a button to put on your pet, and you decided you needed to bring it with you in the cabin.
Put it in the damn luggage. We're all cat. Any you bring a cat on a plane with me? It's not. It's worse than snakes on a plane.
Yeah, you're not allowed to bring snakes on a plane, even if they are emotionally.
You can't.
No.
All right. What about no lizards?
No lizards. No reptiles. No insects.
How about the little yellow? Frog that the guy used in Apocalypto to kill his enemies?
No reptiles.
Oh.
Yeah, it's strange. I think a frog is an amphibian.
Oh, that's true.
Sorry. You know how
that was from Hermione Granger of the Tribune. Let's go.
You know how you know you're in Streeterville, one of the more hoity-toity neighborhoods of Chicago near us? You walk into the Whole Foods, and there's a very large... Well, first of all, you're walking into Whole Foods. And there's a very large sign on the door. We're so sorry, but we don't allow pets or dogs in the store. It's a health concern. Do you know what would happen to me in my neighborhood if I brought my dog into the grocery store?
Everybody would scream.
I would be, like...
Pull out a shotgun
pummeled.
From under the counter and be like, what are you doing?
Yes.
It's a good thing my dad's not running it or my brother Pete. Be like, get out of here.
Yes. You would
can't
be,
bring the dog
like,
in
you'd
there.
Be tackled. Who brings a dog into a grocery store?
That I don't get.
It's like bringing a dog into church. I bet people do, too.
I bet they do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I bet they do.
But what is with the airlines were so hurt by dragging that poor
Dr. Dow
that... Did he turn out to be a weasel too? Something.
There was we should do a little. Yeah, let's check up on Dr.
Like,
Dow.
Where are they now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, where are they now in airline violence? he would turn out to be. He just had his license had been suspended because of something, but then it had been reinstated. So there was a little bit of murkiness in his past, but nothing nefarious. I mean, the guy was dragged out of his chair and chipped his teeth.
I love the screaming. All right, so the thing I tried to get to earlier, that's it. We've exhausted the emotional support animals.
Yeah, I think people have to knock that off.
Yeah, right. I'm looking up Dr. Dow now.
His story?
Go ahead, I'm looking.
Anyway, in the meantime, I didn't get to talk about the Olympics, which is I started to, but I got sidetracked by This Is Us, which is who's going to watch that? Come on, man.
I love the Winter Olympics.
Come on, man.
The whole thing or just the figure skating?
First of all, I can't stand the emotional music, like the little Celestina, or whatever it's called, the little tiny piano.
Sure.
Where you hear the story of, like, Vladimir from the mountains and his little aunt in black who made him, like, gruel every morning so he could climb up there and learn how to ski or something. Right? All these stories, these bullshit stories.
They never used to do that either, right? That's been in the past maybe 10 or 15 years that you, exactly, everything is a little montage
NBC
of pictures
story.
And right. And what's his name with the pink eye?
Oh, Bob Costas, he's not doing the Olympics this year.
Right? Yeah. He didn't do the Super Bowl this weekend.
No, the Super Bowl, no Olympics.
Check that out, how I did that time flip thing.
Yeah, good job,
John. Radio. Yeah.
So they came to a settlement with Dr. Dow, but they're not saying how much, of course. It's all under wraps. But this was March of last year, so reached a settlement with United Airlines.
Now I'm on the pink guy.
Right.
What was that? I was there in Sochi. Then
yeah. What was his name again? I'm already forgetting.
Bob Costas.
I'm losing my mind.
Like a fake Greek guy. I can't stand him because
he's fake Greek.
Well, he's not fake Greek, but they asked. He said something in Greek to the on the air.
Yeah.
Like, and he said like instead of he said it like ti kanata, like it was like
instead
of it was like some kind of wasp guy talking Greek.
Oh yeah. Oh, this
not Yasu or something. He was like.
Okay, you have to try to connect this picture with the podcast.
Okay.
It was bad. I forgot how bad it was. Like, his whole eye is shrunken up to about half the size. It's very leaky and pink.
Oh, my. And, could be a sinus condition.
He's tired of discussing it now, but one moment that will always stand out is when he fought through a painful-looking eye infection during the Sochi Olympics.
That makes sense, though. I mean, remember that was the Olympics where they had sludge coming out of the water, out of the sinks?
I was there.
I know.
Yeah, I was in. I took a bath, a Russian bath.
Ooh!
And I was asking the lady.
Kinky.
Yeah, I know, right? The Russian bath.
Wait, you just said, and I was asking the lady. What?
There's a lady
she was
at
in
the,
there helping you.
No, it gets better.
Did you ever see the red? Did you ever see the red shoes?
No.
Come on, man. The red shoes. The Marie Uskopenskaya. Bless me. She's like the boss of the ballerinas, right? She's
right.
An old, severe old lady, and they had a severe old lady in the Russian bath.
Okay.
And then
did she supervise you?
How was the flogging?
That's what I asked her. I said, "Hit me with the stick." But I was trying to look through my recorder, like to do like Russian translation. Hit me with the stick.
That's what you said.
That couldn't go wrong. Because
that's what they do. They go into a bath. They go cold water, hot water, and they hit each other with sticks.
Are you kidding
me?
Yeah.
Branches, some sort of. It's, sap. Gets
yeah,
in your skin.
Something like that. And
she's like, "No stick for you. No stick for you."
Were you naked in front of her?
I'm not even naked in front of myself. Jeez.
John had a modesty cloth welded to him.
If I ever saw my own body.
Are I pictured one of like one of those large male diapers.
I can't talk about bodily functions. You think I can talk about the chunk of back hair?
Well, you're
on my
saying
back?
You took a bath with and this lady was in the room. So
no, she wasn't in the room. She was an attendant. Like she was the boss of the baths.
Okay.
You go into your private room, you sit in a cold bucket of water.
Oh my gosh, this
sounds
horrible.
In a hot water back and forth, and you're supposed to be hit with sticks. And jump out into the snow.
That's what when I was a kid, my parents had a hot tub, and that was always my favorite thing in the winter, was sit in a hot tub and then jump out from it into the big pile of snow. That was always fun.
But
I feel like this was a prank
people?
On all the Americans at the Olympics.
They do it in Norway, too, and like a lot of the
you can't go into somebody's hot tub. I got
Swedish.
Good friends of mine. I hope they're not listening. But they have
can't
a hot
do
tub.
It, no.
They're like, do you want to come over? I'm like, for the hot tub? I'm like,
because of germs or just weird,
it's not,
like bathing with other people?
I don't mind if it's, if there's a bar and it's like a swim-up pool, I'll do it.
My favorite.
It's like a so it's the warm,
I'm not gonna
it's
sit
the temperature
there.
Of the water in someone else's place. That's the thing, right?
I just think it's just kind of, I don't know.
I mean, I get that,
am I wrong on that?
I mean, I'm not a big hot tub person unless, I'm sipping a nice cold
if
drink
you're by
in
yourself
Mexico
or like
or something.
Your husband.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, though, who have body aches and pains, it actually is really helpful.
It is. It's I mean,
well, you were on WIND this morning, so you're still talking that old people talk.
Oh,
huh?
Exactly.
Come on. Where's the bunion commercial?
Yes.
I took this medicine, and I can see now.
I used to love
ground up vegetables. Now I can see.
I used to love because you go out at night, and you have the window open in the gazebo, and it's cool, and you have put some headphones in, listen to some music or a book on tape. It's relaxing
in the privacy. Where no one can see you?
Well,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's a little, for me, it's somewhat
it's like
self-indulgent.
Community bathing. Self-indulgent?
Yeah, okay. I can't. We have to be a little bit more Spartan in our attitudes.
I don't know. It was very popular in high school.
Such a prude.
I'm the Walter Pigeon of the Tribune.
Yeah.
And no one knows who that is because he's old and so am I. So that's okay. But I just can't do that. Can't talk about that stuff. Can't do it. One thing I did want to ask you guys. I just wanted to get away from that other
You're
subject.
You're trying to pivot.
And I was trying to pivot and I failed. This is a failed pivot.
I'm just sitting here letting him struggle.
I'm just going to shut up.
John's actually a shade of red.
I don't know why.
Which is usually me when I get nervous.
He brought up the bath
and
being
true.
Hit with sticks.
It's the Olympics, and we still haven't talked about anything of importance in the Olympics other than your disdain.
What's so important about... Oh, I cannot stand it when I see the little girl skating and all that.
Why?
Because it's not my thing, okay?
Oh,
to see the boys and the girls skating in little circles.
So you don't
circles,
like gymnastics
pirouettes?
Either, right?
No.
Got it.
I don't like gymnastics. None of that... is Olympics to me.
Oh, see?
Wow.
All right.
Oh, man.
Here's Olympics. Olympics.
Oh, boy.
What they did, what my ancestors did in the real Olympics.
Throw
track
rocks.
And field, discus,
dragon catching.
Okay.
Wait.
All right.
Broad jump, boxing, wrestling. That's it. Thank you. And plays, oratory. So, Christian and I, the three of us, Chicago A team.
Right.
But then we would have... In order to compete as orators, we would have to eat a diet of spinach and gruel for 6 months and then cover ourselves with olive oil and have it scraped off by a loyal retainer.
Wow. There's a lot
to clean ourselves.
Yeah,
to clean our pores and our bodies.
It's a religious thing. Maybe not as much ice skating, but gymnastics, what they do on the beam, flipping on a tiny... To me, it's one of the most difficult things to do in sports, the precision of that. That and hitting a baseball at 100 miles an hour.
Why do they have badminton in the Olympics?
I don't know. They've expanded what they allow to a ridiculous...
It's not politically correct, but my understanding is the reasoning is that there are other countries that are more physically apt to playing badminton or other sports like that. That came in. That's why they tried to
do that. That's why we have bowling.
Little wimpy skinny countries whose women aren't like Abby Wambach.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ass.
I mean, where it's easier to string up a net and you don't need a lot of space. You can...
Also, soccer, no Olympics. Baseball, no Olympics. What are you talking about? Why did he do this?
Yeah. Okay.
And then they were going to drop wrestling out of the Olympics 1 year?
Yeah.
It's all politics.
So you don't like to watch men ice skating?
Grappling?
To soft
with their
music
skin against each other? No.
In tight pants, but you like to watch men roll around on mats together.
No, I don't.
In basically tight swimsuits.
Where
you can see every curvature of their body.
Okay, here's
and they're sweaty.
I've only been married 30 years, so I know this trick. This is payback, payback for the This Is Us thing. It's payback for This Is Us. That's why if they raged, the whole world would be dead.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because they never forget.
I'm nodding.
Yeah.
Right? This payback is not.
Well, John, I'm sad you won't be enjoying the Olympics.
Okay, I'll watch some
curling?
Of
curling? You like curling?
Curling, yeah, that's good because it's a drinking game.
Exactly.
It is.
Curling is great.
It is a drinking game,
absolutely.
Right?
Curling? I don't know what curling is.
Curling? Oh, ice curling? No, curling is it's like shuffleboard on ice, sort of. You have this big, 25-pound, 30-pound stone, and you slide it across the ice, and you put a little spin on it, and the objective is to get it as close to the center as the piece on the far end.
Hmm.
But then you have two people who run ahead of it. One's a scraper and one's a pusher. And so they scrape the ice to make it very smooth. Or they shuffle snow in front of it to slow it down to get it to slow down.
To get into the circle. And the whole point of it is, while you're doing it, you're drinking rye whiskey.
Exactly.
Because
it's a Canadian game.
Yep.
What do you think they did? Just sit up there and drink or hot buttered rum? What's your favorite hot drink, Jeff Carlin?
Hot drink?
How about you?
I'm a tea guy. I like tea.
I like mulled wine.
Mulled wine. Yeah.
And I like hot toddies.
What is a hot? Okay.
Hot toddies.
Give it to me.
Well, mulled wine, you know what that is. You don't?
No. I mean, I've heard about it. Clarence the Angel talked about it and the Italian guy wanted to kick him out of the bar.
So you take Burgundy and you bring it up to high temperature, but you can't
boil
it.
Because
then you boil out the alcohol. What's the point of that?
Right.
You throw in cloves, cinnamon, some squeezed citrus fruits like oranges. I add triple sec. Well, you don't want to swallow that. You want it to still. You could strain it. A lot of people strain their.
Use like a nut bag or a siphon bag, and then you.
Yes.
Raisins.
Yeah,
you could probably do raisins. Mm-hmm, yeah, it's delicious.
Have you ever had Glog?
Yeah, at the German place. Okay, it's like that, or a hot toddy, which is basically warmed hot whiskey with cloves stuck in a lemon, and you drop it in. It's good for colds.
Here's one. That's good. I'd like the hot toddy. Here's one.
Mm-hmm.
Boiling water in a coffee mug or mug. The mug has a tablespoon of brown sugar, a cinnamon stick, lemon zest, and you pour, and then dark rum.
Mm. You add rum with the hot water.
And then you put the hot water in it.
That sounds good.
And I'd say half and half is a good ratio.
Sure. Water, right? Rum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just like a splash of water in that drink. All right, I'm going to head out, guys.
All right, guys. See you. For Kristen McQuarrie, Tribune columnist and editorial board member. And Jeff Carlin, WGN AM, producer of the Rokon and Anna DeVlantis program. And me, your friendly This Is Us hating columnist, John Cass. Thanks for visiting with us on the Chicago Way.